So picture frames are pretty important, right? This is kind of a big one. I know it doesn't have a back, but you kind of get the point. I'm going to talk about the frame game this morning. What's interesting about picture frames is they really control a lot. In fact, they're sometimes more important than the actual picture itself because the frame chooses what you see. Have you ever thought about that? That what you put in the frame determines what you're going to focus on. Because there's a whole lot of other stuff going on around the frame, but you generally focus in on what's in the picture. And if you're a photographer, you know that's especially true, because sometimes you will tighten in on a certain shot to exclude certain things that are going on in the background that you don't want in the picture. And then there are some times where you choose to include some extra things so as to build some character or some interesting features into the picture. And then you place them inside the frame to display for everybody to see. So the frame itself is actually really important. I don't know about you, but when I get ready to frame a picture, I don't want just any old frame, you know? I don't necessarily go and buy the cheapest frame I can find. The frame has to meet the picture, right? If you have a really nice and professionally done picture, you probably take a little bit of time to find a frame that kind of goes with the color. Or each year we get our parents' pictures of our children. And my mother has a certain color of picture frames that she uses in her house. My in-laws have a certain color of picture frames that they use in their house. And we spend a little bit of time finding the right frame because it's important to help encase the picture. So picture frames are really, really important. There's this other thing that deals with frames that I found kind of interesting. It's called cognitive framing. I don't know if you've ever heard of it, but it's actually something that we do all the time and something that we experience all the time in the way that we communicate. Cognitive framing basically determines the way that you present something to someone else. Advertisers do this to you all the time and you don't even realize it. So when you watch a commercial or you see an ad, it's always presented as something that you need or want, right? It's framed in a way to let you know this item, this product, this event is important. And it's going to totally enrich your life. Do you ever see a commercial of somebody showcasing a product and they act like it's boring? No. They might not have any interest in the product whatsoever, but they're getting paid to frame it in such a way that you need what they're selling, right? We even do this through the Gulf Coast Bible Camp website. You may not know, but we call it a late fee rather than a discount because statistics have shown that you're more than likely to register early if you're going to be charged a late fee than if you're going to be given a discount. Isn't that crazy? It's just framing. It's the same thing. You save money. Well, you can't save money now. You already missed the deadline. But you could have had you registered by May 15th. See, next year you won't pay that late fee because of how we framed it. News websites do this all the time. So, you know, you're scrolling through Facebook, seeing useless information, and there's those articles that have what we call clickbait. They're too good to be true. There's no that ever happened, and it usually didn't. It's just some crazy headline to get you to click on it or to get you to watch it because somebody's getting paid some money to come up with the most insane headlines you have ever read. We even use cognitive framing in the way that we talk to our family members. Two examples. Here's one way we use framing when we talk to our spouses. So let's say, fellas, your wife is getting ready, and she picks out an outfit, and she says, "How does this look?" And you're just not totally crazy about how it looks, you know? And so you kind of frame up what you're going to say a little bit to soften or to make what you're going to say sound a little bit better. Say something like this, "Honey, you look great in everything that you wear. In fact, there's this other outfit that you wear that I really like how it looks, and I would love for you to wear this outfit." What are you doing? You're framing. Haley, I ran that one by her last night, and she said, "You don't frame that to me that way." I was like, "Well, I'm going to start doing that, darling." So that's a little piece of advice for you. We even frame the way we talk to our children. So every parent wants their child to eat vegetables, but no child wants to eat their parents' vegetables. So you could do one of two things. You could say, "You're not getting up from the table until you eat those vegetables." Or you could give them a choice. You could frame it in a way that's appealing. You could say, "Well, you have a choice. You can either eat your vegetables or never come out of your room again, ever." right? It's about framing it to see, to give them the choice. Well, here's what Hebrews 11, 1 through 3 says. Let's read it again. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it, the elders obtained a good testimony. Here's our key verse this morning. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. The worlds were framed by the Word of God. So remember, let's go all the way back in our minds to Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. How did He do it? Did He get out His hammer and His nails? Did He get out His skill saw and go to work? No, He said, let there be light. And there was light. And for each day of creation, He simply spoke creation into existence. Isn't that amazing power? How would you like to be able to do that? To say, let there be light, and boom, out of total darkness comes this amazing source of energy that we call light. And all you did was speak it into existence. And so this world was created through the Word of God, through God speaking it into existence. That's some kind of I can't even begin to imagine. And the Hebrew writer says the worlds were framed by the Word of God. So when God creates the ocean and He speaks it into existence, and all of a sudden there's now this liquid substance on the earth and it's flowing back and forth, it's framed by the Word of God. It's created and shaped and held into place by His spoken Word. When God places the stars into the skies and He creates the planets and He puts each one of them in just exactly the right spot, it was all framed, shaped, and created together by His spoken Word. When He creates the animals, when He creates you and I, it's all by His powerful Word. And the Hebrew writer says, by faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. So here's my question for us this morning. If the world was framed, created and shaped together and held together, if it was framed by the Word of God, then can our life be framed by the Word of God? Can our life be created and shaped and held together by the power that created this world by God's Word? You see, here's what's interesting about Hebrews chapter 11. You have this amazing verse in verse 1, right? Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And then you get to chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, which is also a very powerful verse where it says, therefore, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let's lay aside every weight and sin which so easily besets us, and let's run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross, despising its shame, and is seated at the right hand of God. So you have Hebrews 11, verse 1 on this end, and you have Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2 on this end, and in the middle, you have this section of Scripture written for people who are getting tired in their faith, getting people who are getting worn down. They don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. They don't know if they can keep going. They don't know if they can keep running this race of endurance. And so the Hebrew writer frames this awesome section of Scripture together with the definition of faith and then the encouragement to keep going in our faith. And in the middle, he builds in several reminders of people who endured such crazy circumstances. People who lived by such radical faith that we can look at them and we can be encouraged to keep going and to keep persevering. It's all framed together. So, how can our life be framed by the Word of God? What would it look like? How would it change the way we live? We're going to get to that. There's two things I want to challenge you this morning so that you can live a life that's framed by the Word of God. The first one is, you got to focus on your frame of mind. You got to change what you focus on. So in a picture, we focus in on something, right? Think about your life. Just kind of do some introspection. This week, what were the things that you focused on the most? I don't know about you, but for me, if I were to sit down and be brutally honest with myself, I'd have to say that the things that I focused on, at least for a lot of the week, were things that were not necessarily that important in the grand scheme of things, right? Like, I love the NBA Finals. This is like my favorite time of the year. And some of you are like, what's the NBA? Well, it's grown men playing basketball. And I could just sit down for hours and watch it. Love it. Love it. So excited. Talk about it a lot. Does it really matter?
No.
As much as that hurts me to say, it doesn't. But it's important to me, and I focused a lot of time and energy and conversation on it. But in the grand scheme of things, is it that important? No. No, it's not really what I need to spend the majority of my time focusing on, right? And so a lot of times in our life, we focus on the things that are not that important, right? The minutes and more like hours we spend every week on social media is not that important, is it? The things that are important are our relationship with God, our relationship with our family. And sometimes we have to be reminded, what am I focusing on? Just like a picture, what am I zeroing in on? What's most important to me? So there's this powerful story in Matthew chapter 14, this time in Peter's life where he and the other apostles are in this boat and Jesus sort of cast them out while he goes and spends the night in prayer. And in the meantime, they get caught in one of the craziest storms they have ever been in. Now, these are our professional fishermen. They've dealt with storms, right? But this one is different. They don't think they're going to survive this one. And at some point, they look out across the water and they see this person walking across the top of the water. And they start going crazy, and I would too. I can't blame them. They start going a little bit crazy. They think it's a ghost. All right, so they cry out, what in the world is going on? It's I, don't be afraid. And so Peter, in this insane moment of faith, is like, Lord, if it's you, just call me out upon the water to you. And Jesus says, come. And so he steps out of that boat and he walks across the top of the water. How amazing. I've tried it a few times. Never worked out for me every time I sank, right? And Peter does this in the middle of this storm that just minutes ago they thought was going to take their life. And now he's walking in the middle of it. He's totally oblivious to what's going on around him because he is solely focused on Jesus. And then we know the rest of the story, right? He looks around and realizes, hey, I'm walking on water, right? Like, how did it take you that long to remember that? You know, that's what I've always found funny about that story. Shouldn't it have been like the first step you took? Hey, I'm walking on water. But for Peter, it was like a few steps later. You know, he's out in the middle, totally away from the boat. Hey, I'm walking on water. Hey, there's a storm going around. Hey, this doesn't seem right. And then, boom, he goes under the water and he's drowning and Jesus saves him. What was the difference there? What was the difference between his faith and his fear? How does he go from walking on water to drowning in the same water? How does he go from a moment of fear or a moment of faith to a moment of fear? It's what he focused on. That was the only change in Peter's world. And so we got to focus on what we are focusing on. And one of the best ways to do it is to think about how we frame our day. Tell me this. How excited are you about Monday? Oh, I know. Oh, how many times you're like, oh, I got a case of the Mondays. Oh, I don't want to go to work today. What's happening? You're framing your day. Your day will go exactly the way you say it's going to go. Isn't that the powerful thing? Have you ever had a bad day and the first thing you said when you woke up was, I'm going to have a bad day today? Well, no surprise there, right? You framed it to have a terrible day. Here's what David said in Psalm 118. He says, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. What is he doing? He's framing his day. I don't know when he writes this verse, but I doubt it's at the very end of the day. I doubt he's like, well, you know, I'm going to rejoice because today was a pretty good day. It seems like he's writing it at the start of the day. Today is the day that the Lord has made. Even God created Mondays. I know that's crazy to think, but he created Mondays as a day to rejoice. And even Tuesdays and Wednesdays, not just Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays when we can look forward to some time off. It's every day is a day to rejoice. So just try this tomorrow. When you wake up in the morning, remind yourself of Psalm 118 and verse 24. Frame your day with this verse. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And just see. See if framing your day in that way makes a difference. Here's the second thing that I want to challenge you with to change a little bit. Your frame of mind was the first thing. The second thing is your frame of reference. You know, the thing about picture frames is sometimes you can only focus in on what's going on in the picture, and you forget that when that shot was taken, there was a whole world evolving around that one moment. There were things going on that you have forgotten about or that you will never know about because all that you know is what's going on in that picture. Here's kind of the connection. Sometimes we get so fixated and on situations in our world that do require tension, those storms that Bob was talking about and that we've been praying about. Sometimes we can get so focused on the storms that are going on in our life that we forget that the world is still spinning all around us. And not just that, it is the same and forever. So let's go back to that Hebrews chapter 11. So you remember it says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Elders obtained a good testimony by it. The worlds were framed through the Word of God. And then the rest of the chapter, the Hebrew writer gives us all these examples of people who have endured difficult circumstances. You think it was easy for Abraham to leave his family, leave his hometown, and just go walking after God and following where he does not know where he's going? No. You think he dealt with some adversity along the way? Absolutely. Did he fail and make some mistakes? You better believe it. Right? And each story that comes after that, talking about Moses and Elijah and all these great heroes of the faith that we kind of elevate, sometimes we forget these were real people. These were people who struggled like you, and they did not know how the story was going to end. But in every situation, God was faithful to them. He continued to lead them and provide for them. And so when we have all these crazy situations, when our anxiety starts to rise, when our worry level increases and we don't know how we're going to go tomorrow, we don't know what tomorrow is going to bring, if we can even take tomorrow, we've got to remember that God is still faithful. So do you remember when David was getting ready to go fight Goliath? And nobody in the world thought David could ever defeat this giant. How's he going to defeat this Philistine giant? He's just a little boy, right? He's just a little kid, probably a teenager at that point. How's he going to defeat this skilled warrior, the best warrior that the Philistines had? Here's what he says to King Saul in verses 34 through 37. He says, "But David said, 'Your servant has been keeping his father's sheep, and when a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it, struck it, and rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by its hair, struck it, and killed it.'" What a man, you know what I mean? This dude is a man, even as a little kid. Oh my goodness, I've never gone after a bear or a lion, and I don't think I ever would, right? "But then he says, 'Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be just like one of them because he's defied the armies of the living God. The Lord who delivered me,'" here's the key phrase, "'the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine.'" So David looks back and he says, there was a time in my life where I dealt with a difficult situation. I was given a job, and that job required me to put my life on the line. I had to go rescue these worthless sheep. And I did it. And I fought the lion, and I fought the bear. And God delivered me then, and God's going to deliver me now. So those of you who have been through several seasons of life, who have dealt with so many difficult circumstances, it seems like each time, sometimes it just kind of ramps up a little bit more with each circumstance, right? Like the stuff that you dealt with when you were young is different than the stuff that you've dealt with later in life. And if you dealt with what you're dealing with now at such a younger age, you don't know how in the world you would ever be able to handle it. But what's the common thread? The common thread is God was always there. He was always leading. Some of us are so young that we haven't seen God lead in such a way that we can chart a course where we can say, God led me here and here and here. And now that I'm in this moment, I know that God is going to continue to lead because He's still faithful just like He was then. So if you're like me and you have that hard time connecting those dots and plotting that course, then look back at other people in your life who have been there, who have the battle scars, and who can remind you that God is faithful. Look to some of our silver saints and folks who have dealt with difficult circumstances. Look at the Word of God. Frame your life with the Word of God. And remember how God led David, how God led Moses, how God led Peter. And all these people in the Bible who are just as dysfunctional and sinful as us. And God still led them. Brought them through some crazy circumstances. And if He was faithful to them, He'll be faithful to us. So sometimes we can get so focused on one moment that we forget all of life is connected. And we forget God is still leading today. So here's a couple verses you can use to frame your life, to give you a bigger frame of reference. The first one comes from Romans 8. If God is for me, who can be against me? I know it says us. I know it's a collective passage. I don't think there's any harm in personalizing it a little bit more. If God is for me, who can be against me? Dealing with some difficult people in your life, kind of working on your anxiety level a little bit, causing you to get so focused on them that you forget about the greater plan that God has for your life. Man, if God is for you, who can be against you? Frame it. Remember that He's leading. It doesn't mean that I'm going to take you down because God's on my side. It means I'm going to endure. I'm going to look at you as a person that God loves. Because God is for me, He's not against me. Here's another one. It's Philippians 4:13. It's the famous Tim Tebow verse that he always wrote on his eye black. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It's not a verse about winning football games. It's not a verse about being successful in some other athletic competition. It's not even a verse that's saying, hey, if you want to go be a doctor, you can be a doctor because Christ's going to give you the strength. That's not the context of the verse. The context of the verse is, Paul says, I'm sitting in a Roman prison. I'm enduring the most difficult circumstances of my life to this point. There are some days I don't have anything to eat. There are some days everybody has forsaken me. But I've learned in all situations, Paul says just a couple verses before, to be content. I know how to be abased. I know how to be totally poor. And I know how to abound. I know how to live in luxury. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. What's he saying? I can endure anything because Christ is going to give me the strength to endure it. That's the context of the verse. So, what's our frame of reference? Whatever the situation of my life is, whatever season I'm in right now, that has got me so fixated on this one moment that I don't know if life, how life is going to be after it, back up, look outside the picture frame, and remember that for every moment that's captured in a camera, there was a whole world going on around it. For every season of life that I'm in that seems so difficult, every storm that I'm going through, life is still going on around me. There are still people who are suffering more intensely than I am. There are people with far greater problems than I have. But aside from all that, there is a God who is still faithful to me. Whether I'm dealing with a little bit of difficulty or an overwhelming amount of difficulty. Change your frame of reference. Enlarge your view. Raise your perspective. So the goal is to see life through the frame of faith. That's the goal. That's what we want to do, right? We want to approach every situation, every crisis with the same power that God used to create this world, because that same power is at work within us. That if God could frame the world by the power of His Word, then God can frame my life through the power of His Word. That I can approach each day, each situation with the life-changing power of the Word of God. So, depending on what's going on in your life, I want to kind of help you connect it. Do you need to focus in on what you're focusing on and change your frame of mind and start focusing on what really matters? Because life throws a lot of distractions at us. So maybe for you, you need to focus in and block out some distractions and change the way that you frame each day. Or maybe you need to zoom out because you've been so focused on a certain situation that it's that you're forgetting the faithfulness of God and your anxiety level is rising because you're forgetting that God is still there. Remember, the only difference in faith and fear is what are you focusing on. So, do you need to remember God's faithfulness in your life and His ability to lead and guide you through every difficult season? Or, maybe you need to give your life to Christ and allow the power of His Word to come into your life and to begin to reshape and reframe the way that you approach your life. Because this world will tear us apart, but the power of God will lift us up and allow us to live in a powerful way. That same word will convict you of your sin. It'll throw you down on your knees. It'll make you realize how wretched you are, how undeserving you are. And then God, in His same word, sweeps in and says, no, you don't deserve it, but that's why it's grace. That's why it's called mercy. And He's going to pour it out on you in a way you've never experienced before. And it will lead you to the waters of baptism as you give your life to Christ, changing your outlook on life, framing every day and every season with the Word of God. So the worlds were framed by the power of the Word of God, and your world can be framed by that same power. So we can help you in any way this morning. If we can pray for you, encourage you in any way, if you are ready to be baptized into Christ, turn your life over to Jesus and allow Him to lead you and guide you so that your life can be framed through His power, we'd love to help you. If we can do anything for you this morning, won't you come as we stand and sing?